again, we are happy to have Christy Yoski, Vice President of Clinical Strategies for HealthPro Heritage, with us today. And she's going to refer to a couple of tools, and we will be posting those to the website along with the recording once this session is finished. Christy, thanks so much for joining us. I'll let you begin.
Thank you, Jill. Today we're actually going to start by talking about some pre-admission risk assessment tools, the why behind it, the process, and really the purpose of using a pre-admission, readmission risk assessment tool. So thank you so much for having me today. What we know is that this environment of healthcare is ever-changing. I don't think that's any surprise to anyone on the call today. Maryland, as an all-payer model, really has a really big hospital system focus on readmission rates. We also know that SNF value-based purchasing is currently in its performance period, which began on January 1st, 2017, and that will really calculate our readmission rates for the calendar year all the way through December 31st, 2017. What, as we our skilled nursing facilities, we will be actually compared to our own performance in calendar year 2015, as well as compared to the mean decile of the top national performers in 2015 as well. And we know that that will affect our reimbursement in fiscal year 2019. We also know that hospital value-based purchasing programs, such as the readmission reduction program, is in Virginia and D.C., although not in Maryland. We know that Maryland health systems are having discussions with their SNF and other downstream providers based on readmissions. It is hitting the bottom line. I think they're starting to look at length of stay, but for the most part, what I'm hearing in that Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. area is the readmissions. We know we have ACOs and bundle payment as well in Virginia, aside from just focused on readmissions, but readmissions is where we'll focus today, which we also know is a huge piece of the expense when we're dealing with post-acute services. So with all of those programs, identifying a patient risk is going to be key. If we identify a patient's risk for readmission, it will assist us as downstream providers in planning interventions around that risk, any clinical programming that we need to support the success of the patient while in our four walls, as well as 30, 60, or 90 days post-acute. And that will be a key performance factor when you're trying to partner with a health system or any downstream partners. So that's what we know. The tools. I did share with Jill and Leading Age the advisory board company readmission risk stratification tool compendium, and it does list on the left-hand side of the tool six different risk assessments. You can click on that tool, and it will take you to the risk assessment. It also gives you the description and the criteria assessed, and I'm going to give a couple of examples of that today. The one being the LACE index, which really predicts readmission, death within 30 days, and it uses both primary and administrative data. It looks and assesses at length of stay in days for index hospitalizations. It looks at acuity of illness at the time of the admission, and it also looks at emergency department visits really in the previous 6 months, as well as something called the Charlson comorbidity score, which takes a look at one-year mortality rates for a patient who may have a range of comorbid conditions. So that's one example of a risk assessment tool that you can find out there. Hospital systems are really using this tool, so if you know what your health system or hospital system is using, that's helpful. If you utilize the same tool, you're kind of speaking the same language. If your hospital system is not using a risk assessment, then you have the option to choose kind of what works best for your environment. What I have seen is also on this list is Project Boost, which stands for Better Outcomes for Optimizing Safe Transitions, and they call that the 8P screening tool, and again, you can find this on the advisory board company's document that I've sent out to Leading Age, or you can Google Project Boost, B-O-O-S-T, and it's really a tool intended for use at admission or pre-admission to identify patients who have an increased risk for adverse events following hospitalization. What I love about this tool in skilled nursing and beyond is it actually includes risk-specific interventions that we can use throughout the patient's stay, and it will help us to mitigate any post-discharge risk of that patient being readmitted. And some of the examples of what it kind of focuses on is problem medications, psychological issues, the principal diagnosis of the patient, polypharmacy, poor health literacy, patient support, prior hospitalization, and palliative care, all very, very important items to be assessing. Again, I say that it provides us with risk-specific interventions that we can kind of continue based on that risk. So we'll talk about why that's important. But there are four other tools on that list, and there are many other tools out there. Certain hospital systems have also developed their own tools based on what they're looking for. So there's definitely a lot out there for you to choose from. So the biggest piece is why. Why would we do a pre-admission risk assessment? And really the biggest thing is to implement a process for pre-admission to risk stratify our patients and identify their needs prior to them coming to us. Do we have the capability of caring for that patient? And if so, what are the tools or support or education or programming that we will need? Which leads me into the fact that we can, with a pre-admission risk assessment, we can pre-plan the needs of that patient so that we have the tools on site before they arrive. So those are two key factors. We can also manage the risk throughout really a patient-centered discharge planning process, so involving the patient in the discussion at pre-admission, the caregiver or family member or resident representative, as well as the discharge planners at the hospital. Right now, we are seeing in a lot of active markets that we are not able to get our admissions or marketing into those hospital systems that are highly strategic with bundle payment and ACOs. So this is allowing us in the doors. We're doing more of a clinical assessment, and it's allowing us in front of those discharge planners. We're able to get a little bit more from a referral standpoint because they see what we're doing. We're risk assessing the patient, and we're properly planning interventions based on that risk assessment, and they seem to really take to that because they're focused more on outcomes. They're focused more on the process and making sure that we're identifying and really seeing the pain points as a health system, which is readmission rates currently. It also helps us to identify conditions and risk throughout the discharge planning process that may be a barrier to a successful discharge, and we can really hit that head on right at the beginning. So what's the process? What does that all look like? Really, you should identify a responsible team member to conduct the bedside risk assessment prior to admission. This can be done upon admission if you lack the resources or the ability to get to the hospital prior to admission. You don't want to let that admission go. But it can be done via observation, communication with the potential patient and caregiver, and then chart review, of course, and then speaking with the physician or the nurse who's caring directly for that patient, as well as any social work within on site. And that's really a benefit to being able to be face-to-face. Once that risk score is calculated, really communicating that to your SNF admissions team, nursing, social services, and your physician, as well as rehab and any other pertinent staff that will be working with that patient. And then the next piece of that is really having the interdisciplinary team review the risk assessment and the score. I think if you were on the last call that I hosted, it was regarding a 48-hour care conference, and that's really a great time to bring the patient, or as they call the resident and resident representative with the IDT together, talk about the risk, and then identify those interventions to assist with reducing or mitigating that readmission risk. And that is really kind of at the center of that patient or resident-centered care planning that we're planning, as well as discharge planning. So we can have that discussion early on, start discharge planning from day one related to risk, what are those interventions. And then the next piece would be rounding. If you have a high-risk patient, you're probably going to spend a lot more time with them, maybe rounding on a daily basis between nursing and rehab and social services and any other pertinent disciplines. But involving the nurse practitioner and the physician is going to be key with those high-risk patients, and even at times those moderate-risk patients. And we see that there's an increase in patient satisfaction the more physician or nurse practitioner involvement. They're used to seeing their physician twice a day in a hospital setting, and when they come to us in a SNF, they probably see them once, maybe twice before they leave if they're lucky. So increasing the face time with the physician or nurse practitioner will increase the likelihood that they're more willing to have us care for them in-house versus saying, I want my family member or I want to go to the hospital. So they have that kind of regular communication, regular face-to-face time, which it assists us as post-acute providers in caring for the patient while they're with us. It's also important to have kind of a better, what works best in your community. So what is that process? Is it rounding daily on high risk? Is it involving the nurse practitioner or the physician? And what does that look like? And again, I think the important piece of this is to get really in front of the patient, not just sitting at a table rounding on their chart, but in front of the patient for that patient involvement in care and the satisfaction piece, which will be key. And then consider maybe recompleting the risk assessment at discharge to identify any potential progress depending on which risk tool you've chosen. And then document that score. The big piece will be to communicate the tool of your choice to your hospital partners, what it measures, and what the overall score means. If your hospital partner already has a tool, best to use that tool so you're speaking the same language. One thing that I find, if you actually risk assess your patients, you can give them data-specific outcomes. That 75% of my patients are high risk based off the LACE index or the Project Boost AP screening tool. We hear a lot of SNF providers and downstream providers saying, I'm getting the toughest of the tough. There's really no data to back that up. So this starts that conversation with your hospital system that I'm taking 75% of your high-risk patients for readmission, 25% are moderate. I'm getting zero low-risk patients. So we definitely have a little bit of a higher acuity. They're requiring more care because of these interventions that we need to provide to mitigate risk. So I think that's important. And again, it does assist in standardizing the data and giving you a more data-driven approach with your communication as a partner. And that's both for upstream and downstream, because you can communicate those with your home health partners and down if you're working with an assisted living, or if you are on this call and you are an assisted living. Risk assessing is also key, but again, finding out your SNF partners and what they're using so you're all speaking the same language will be of benefit. It doesn't mean that you can't use something different. It has to work in your setting and with your level of patients or residents. So the big piece is choosing a tool, understanding what it's used for and what it assesses, educating all of your partners on what you're using, scheduling a kind of a procedure or process of start to finish. What does risk assessment tell us, or how does it help us with our patients? And then what does that mean for our patients? And then really communicating the scores and the process with your partners and how things are going. So with that said, as I had said and Jill said, we do have the readmission risk stratification tool compendium, which will be on the site along with this recording. So Jill, I want to go ahead and pass it over to you and see if there are any questions.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to turn the